All right, so 3 o'clock hour of the Mike Mussinelli Show this hour. We'll talk to Penn coach Steve Donahue, who pulled off an upset last night at the Palestra. Villanova goes down. Tyrone happy about it. Called him out right. Did you say 4 points, too?
Yeah, I was one off. I was mad when he missed the foul shot because I was hoping to get it perfectly.
3 o'clock hours, about this, by Corvallis Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie, hoagie, party chairs, every bit as good. The news of the day, Carson Wentz, according to some reports, will not play Sunday and may not play the rest of the season. According to other reports, he's still not ruled out for Sunday. But let's just pretend that he is ruled out and take the conversation that way and the ramifications of all this. The 3 o'clock hour brought to us again by Corvallis Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. All right, let's get to the phones, back to them. Kenny in Jersey on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kenny.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Kenny?
All right. Hey, Mike, that caller, Spanky, he needs his head examined. You always want your team to get into the dance.
Yeah, you know? I get the frustration. This is not going to result in a Super Bowl year, but you can't take it out on the playoffs.
Look, newsflash, 8-8 teams has won the Super Bowl. 9-7 teams has won the Super Bowl.
They're not going to win no Super Bowl, bro. All right, let's not get carried away.
The
best that we can do is for them to make it. That's better than not making it. That's as far as I'll take it. They're not going to win no Super Bowl.
I'm not saying y'all going to win a Super Bowl. But
all right.
Just get in.
Okay. All right, I get you. Now, would you like general knowledge question? Start off the 3 o'clock hour? Chance to win comedian tickets?
Of course.
Trevor Noah, Dane Cook. All right, here we go. It is the general knowledge category. What war was the backdrop of the movie and TV show MASH?
Oh, man. The Korean War. World War One. Korean War.
What are you doing? Going down to the list?
No.
The Korean War is correct. Your first answer was correct. Korean War. It is correct.
He said it first.
Yeah, he got
Ty doesn't want to give it to him.
No, he got it.
He got it, then he didn't get it. So was he just listing all the wars he knew?
He got nervous.
As soon as he said Korean War, I said, yeah. I started to say, yeah. Then he went, World War One. So I was already committed to the yeah part of that.
Okay.
All right. By the way, Pat Egan developed this stat. He came up with this stat.
No, it was Booney.
It was Booney.
Yeah.
Zacher Booney is our producer at NBC Sports Philly. Thanks, Booney. Ertz is fifth in the NFL among tight ends in yak. So the guy that called to say he doesn't break tackles, explain that to me. He's fifth in the league in yak. Of all guys to complain about, it's that guy? Seriously, the guys that dropped the ball for him forever.
There is an anti-Ertz thing that's still hanging on. He did catch, also he pointed out, Booney, that he broke a tackle and had the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. But now let's rip him after he's having his best year.
The fact that he catches everything that comes to him makes up for anything, I think. He's got 98 receptions, for crying out loud. JP in North Philly, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. JP.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, JP?
I'm just wondering why everybody's so dismissive about Foles. Like with this Sunday coming up. Like, why everybody, like, I'm a Wentz guy. Like, I'm not a Foles guy, like a sentimental Foles guy.
I don't think anybody's dismissive of him. If the guy, first string guy's hurt, then Foles has to play. Nobody's dismissive of that.
But it seems like no one's giving him a chance. And I'm thinking Foles might give us a better chance than Wentz just because Wentz is not Wentz. Like,
what?
He looks like Mark Brunell. Like, I don't know if anybody's watching the same games I'm watching. He looks like Mark Brunell. Like, he gets the ball and he's just stationary in the pocket. He doesn't move the pocket. People don't realize how.
Wait. The other guy moves the pocket?
No. I mean,
are you kidding me?
Mobile, Nick Foles is not completely mobile like Michael Vick, but he's mobile like Alex Smith. Like, he can move
he's
the
what?
Left, right.
What are you,
he's
tripping?
Like Alex Smith.
Where do you see Alex Smith and Nick Foles?
What? No, I'm saying, like,
come on, dude. You're killing me. He's about as mobile as a rhinoceros.
Do you remember when Chip Kelly had him with the run pass option?
That doesn't mean he's mobile.
I know, but he's more mobile than you think, I'm saying. He's more mobile than Carson Wentz is right now.
Come on, JP.
Carson Wentz is not moving the pocket.
JP, stop. Come on.
Can I get a general what?
Yeah, yes, you can. I'm tempted to pull it away from you. But yeah, I'll give you one. It's cartoon villains.
Oh.
All right? Cartoon villains. If I give you the villain, Scar. Who's the cartoon? What is it?
Lion King.
That's correct. That's right. And who played Scar? Who played Scar, Tyrone?
Was that Jeremy Irons?
That's correct. Jeremy Irons, a great villain.
Scar is the ultimate worst villain. You're going to kill the...
Killed his brother.
Kill your brother. And then, after that, go, you know what? Now I'm going to kill your son, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's cold-blooded.
If you put Scar up against the great villains, is he in the top five? If we're not even talking about cartoon villains...
Oh, he's top five.
Oh, yeah.
He was so calculated. He tried to undermine the whole kingdom.
Who'd be your number one villain? Number one villain in a movie, cartoon, or...
Joker, for me. The Joker.
Joker?
Yeah.
Joker's pretty
good. From The Dark Knight.
I got a villain that's tough to beat.
Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson, both as the Joker.
Can't be my villain.
Well, who's your
villain is Anton Chigurh from No Country for Old Men.
Oh my God.
Okay.
That's so scary.
He's the best villain ever.
With the thing?
Yeah. That dude was relentless.
Oh, man.
That's a good villain.
He was scary.
Let's go to Jim and Langhorne. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, Jim?
Oh, boy, I tell you, I don't know how you guys sit and listen to all these calls with some of these outrageous comments, but that's what you guys do, so.
Listen, man, you know, I'm like a medieval warrior with a shield today. Those comments, I'm deflecting them.
So here's my thoughts. First of all, we know Carson Wentz is a ultimate competitor. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if he's got, and if you think about it, some of those games when he made those errant throws, you know, you throw a football, you're using your muscles and your back, and not only your shoulder, but you're using your muscles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing that this is all legit, and he's probably, you know, he may play, just like the reports are saying, he might not play. But I do think that Howie Roseman, I would think he's got to be sitting and thinking sometimes, you know, what it was pre-injury to Wentz and where it is now, especially because he hasn't looked the same, taking the shoulder or the back out of the situation, the back spasms. Just like you had said earlier, he just doesn't look the same.
Yeah, he doesn't have the same bounce, but if you look at his numbers last week, his numbers were pretty pristine, weren't they?
No, they were, and I agree with you completely, but I think it's the bounce. That's exactly right. Over a period of games, he doesn't have that same bounce that he has when he first entered the league. And maybe that's the 1 year after injury. Maybe
I agree with you. I think it is the 1 year after injury. Now, the other thing is, like we discussed here, they may, behind the scenes, say, okay, we're not really happy with this performance. How do we get out of this without us looking like curs? And the way they do it is, he's kind of hurt. Like, you know, Carson, we like to see you. You're not to see, you know, your back spasms. You're not playing, you know, you're hurt. So, you know, this is the way we'll do it. It could be that. Yeah. I mean, we don't really know what it is because back spasms normally would not keep a competitor starting quarterback out of a game.
Yeah, but you know what? I agree with you. I guess we won't know. I guess we just go on the reports unless there's some inside reports that you guys get there where you get some inside tips of
we'll see. A national guy says that he's been ruled out. Not only that, but he might not play the rest of the season. But there are some other people say he's not ruled out for Sunday even. So we don't know what the truth is. And I don't know, maybe the Eagles don't know right now.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If anybody's calling in and continues calls in and thinks that Nick Foles is a better option than Carson Wentz, then they need to go back to football 101.
Yeah, there are people that think that, and they would be silly.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, now, would you like a general knowledge question here, bro?
Absolutely.
All right, history analogies, very cerebral category.
Indeed.
Newton is to gravity as blank is to relativity.
Oh, my God, the theory of relativity.
The theory of relativity. That's correct.
Okay.
Oh, Albert. E equals MC squared.
Yes, it does.
Yes, theory of relativity.
Couldn't talk till he was five.
Sure does.
Einstein couldn't talk till he was five?
Yeah, I read that somewhere.
Really?
Yeah, and he got kicked out of all of his classes growing up.
teachers can rarely go second level.
He wasn't a disciplined student.
No, he wasn't.
And he was going smarter than the professors.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the teachers. Let's go to Matt. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Michael, hey, how you guys doing? Mike, you're like a left winger today. I love it. You get the teeth knocked out, you get right back on the ice and right in there for the next
seven injections. Today, seven injections into my gums, brother, today. By my doctor, Dr. Pliers.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it. Hey, let me talk about Wentz, but I want to talk about the mental side of the game real quick. And I'm not a quarterback guru by any stretch, so I'm going to bounce this off you. I am not seeing the same guy pre-snap this year that I saw last year at all. I mean, last year we were comparing Carson to Peyton Manning, the way that he would come up to the line and, you know, kill, kill, kill on the RPO play or whatever. But just the way he surveyed the field and the way he always seemed to have a knack to come off his first read and find the second and third guy. And you're just not seeing that this year. What I'm seeing is actually a guy that plays a little bit more like Nick Foles, that goes right up to the line, you know, takes his survey, takes his first snap, and then he is locked onto a receiver, and it's usually hurts. You know, it's kind of been that way all year. So,
all right, here's the ultimate question for you, though. And I agree with you, and I think it's a hangover from the injury, and it takes 2 years to really get back to form. Do you believe that the Eagles would be making a mistake if they re-upped his contract and gave him that $30 million starter money?
No, absolutely not. Mike, I'm looking at coaching right now. I'm looking at coaching, and I'm wondering if the rest of the league has caught up to Doug Peterson with this whole RPO-heavy nonsense. And I'm wondering if we need to go in a different direction here. If possibly, you know, if that means getting a new offensive coordinator in here that, you know, runs more of a standard-type offense to get Wentz going again, then maybe that's the answer. But no, Wentz isn't the problem. I'm worried that Doug Peterson might be a one-trick pony with all this RPO stuff, and I'm worried that the rest of the league is caught up to him, Mike. So
I can't discount it. We will obviously see more next year. That I believe the offensive coordinator will be replaced, and so will the defensive coordinator this year. But they have so many areas of concern. With my concern anyway, they're going to have to the front office is really going to have to rebuild this team next year.
Why are they not bringing Flip back, Mike? That is really has me scratching.
Well, why would you do that now and undermine everybody else? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Just as a consultant, maybe.
But a consultant is still going to undermine people. Like, what's he going to do? Just sit there and not say anything? He's going to say stuff. He's going to undermine. It's a mess if you do that. You don't want to do that.
So who's the RPO guru?
Who is this guy anyway? What is so special about DeFilippo? He failed miserably in Minnesota. Why do we have to have him back? I don't get this. What is so special about this guy that you have to have him back?
Well, nothing.
He just failed in a team.
He did, but Groh is failing with this team.
All right, fine. That doesn't mean you can take one failed guy and bring him in here and replace a guy who's also failing?
Would you be
that helps the situation?
Would you be okay if he's the offensive coordinator next season?
I don't care. Whatever. He hasn't done anything as far as I'm concerned. He was a quarterback coach who apparently had Carson's ear. Did he prove anything as an offensive coordinator? I don't understand this acclaim for this guy. Let's go to Jeff in Warminster. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
Mike, I'm going to piggyback right off that call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I think DeFilippo needs to come back, and I will be a bit of a conspiracy theorist in this sense, as where this back spasm injury, okay, it's Wednesday. They don't play until Sunday. Okay? Like you said, people come back from back spasms day to day. Now, the fact that Frank Rowe is off the hook now. He's now off the hook, okay, because Wentz, he was suffering from a back injury. We have to put our backup in. DeFilippo won the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback.
DeFilippo was a quarterback coach. He didn't win anything. There was an offensive coordinator ahead of him, and there was an offensive coordinator ahead of him. DeFilippo was third on the pecking order. What, did he orchestrate this great master plan?
And so Foles was second on the pecking order, and they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but so what does that have to do with DeFilippo?
Well, you know, maybe he failed with Kirk Cousins, but he didn't fail with Foles.
But how much influence did he have on the game plan?
A lot.
He did? You know that. Like Frank Reich and Doug Peterson were subordinate to DeFilippo?
I don't think so.
Okay,
think
well
he,
then.
He was a good
come
coach.
On, man. You're overvaluing the dude.
I don't think so because I feel the fact that we won the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. I'm not a Foles bandwagon. No, Wentz is the better quarterback. I feel like this is a scapegoat for,
This is the answer to everything. Bring DeFilippo back. Go ahead, knock yourself out. Bring him back.
Oh, my God. Okay.
All right. You want a general knowledge question?
Yep.
All right. Let's go. We're in the commercials. All right, these are U.S. American TV commercials. I give you the summary of the commercial. You give me the product.
Okay.
Man was once obese, but not anymore, thanks to the Miracle Sandwich Diet.
Oh, gosh, I have no clue.
Oh, yes, you do.
Obese?
Come on, man. Man was once obese, but not anymore, thanks to the Miracle Sandwich Diet.
Gosh, I have no idea.
How soon we forget Jared.
I'd like to have forgotten him sooner.
Who got arrested and what?
Not arrested.
He's in jail.
Some child porn?
Yeah, no, won't. Yeah, he's...
Is that what it was?
Yeah, yeah.
Bye, Jared.
I won't see him no more.
The product is Subway.
Yeah, yeah. No, you were right about the product. He should have got it.
He's just a terrible human.
Yeah, yeah, and he should have got it because everybody knew that answer, but...
Yeah, he should have got that one. That was a very, very famous commercial. Let's go to Lamar in Philly. Lamar, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Lamar.
Yo, Mike. What's going on, Mike?
What's up, Lamar?
Not much, man. Are we going to do some second-level thinking today?
Got it. Let's do second-level thinking. Let's bring back DeFilippo, and I think all our problems are solved.
No, we had a talk the other day about the dope thing, but we're past that now. Okay. We're on to something different.
All right.
Tell Tyrone I am an Eagles fan, for one. For two, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if nothing else, wouldn't these last three games be good for troubleshooting? How can you fire any offensive coordinator and determine that all your receivers are bad if they ain't getting any targets? Are you just going to assume that none of them get open and they don't get any targets?
I don't know what you're suggesting here.
What you're saying is when you say that Aguilar shouldn't say nothing or Jeffrey shouldn't say anything, you make this...
No, I didn't say they shouldn't. I didn't say shouldn't say anything. I'm saying they're not as important as the quarterback.
Yeah, I understand that.
You can't defer to guys like Jeffrey and Aguilar over your quarterback.
Well, my thing is, they're still key components to the team. So at the end
I didn't
of the day,
say they weren't key components. You missed my point on this. What is your point here with this call?
My thing is, again, like I said the other day, I feel like, for one, I'm an Eagles fan. For two, you put the quarterback in that can give you the best shot at winning at that particular
And you
time.
Believe that is Nick Foles?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Why do you believe this?
I believe that for one simple reason. I feel like at the end of the day, the minute that Tate got here, it showed me that Wentz isn't going through his progressions. If he's not going through his progressions, he's locked in on one guy. If he's locked in on one guy, the rest of the team is not effective. Therefore, all you do is cover Ertz and you lose. I mean, the Saints coach put it best. Make Wentz beat us. He hasn't beat anybody.
And Foles is the better choice.
No, I'm not saying Foles is the better choice. I'm saying right now at the moment, unless you want to bring in a third-string guy, I wouldn't even bring that guy's name up.
You think that Wentz has played poorly enough to lose his job to Nick Foles?
Absolutely, because I think that when Tate came here, he's the top of the league in receiving. He came here, and now he's just a non-complete factor.
Yeah, well, I just don't agree with you. I think it's just stone silly to suggest
Well, Mike, if things changed on Sunday.
I played a better player. See, Lamar, I don't fool around. I played a better player.
Yeah, I understand that, but you're just making the assumption that Wentz is the better player.
Well, of course he's not going through progression. Come on, man. All right, seriously. What do you have to be a football genius to figure out that Carson Wentz is a better player than Nick Foles?
No, Mike, but you're always talking about the eye test. Well, I mean, what is he showing you on the eye test?
They see. He had three touchdowns, no interceptions, threw for 300 yards last week.
Mike, and he gave you zero in the first half.
Yeah, he did. He did.
You
are way overvaluing Nick Foles. But that's your right to do so, Lamar. Would you like a general knowledge question?
No, Mike, I don't need no quarterbacks. I don't know general knowledge.
All right, I don't want to give you a general knowledge question anyway, damn it, because I don't want you to win to laugh to see a comedian.
There you go, Mike. Now you see.
See, me miserable your whole life.
And he had the
Trevor Noah can crack you up, and Dane Cook can. Well, maybe Dane Cook can. But you know what I'm talking about.
And he said he knows quarterbacks, not knowledge.
Get him.
You don't know quarterbacks either. He's basically just admitted he knows nothing. He demonstrated he didn't know about quarterbacks, and then he admitted he knew nothing else. He knows nothing.
You want those tickets, Natalie? You can have his tickets.
Sure.
There you go. You qualify, Natalie.
You look like a Dane Cook type.
You big fan?
He was funny when I was 17.
What
He's not
tr-
quite funny.
I love
Trevor Noah.
You like Trevor
Noah? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see him myself, even station tickets aside.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have freebies from the station?
No.
I'm sure you
do. I have freebies elsewhere.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Not from the station?
No.
Station's holding them on you?
I mean, I guess I could ask, but I just haven't.
Well, of course you can get them from the station.
I can't.
Well, who's your other source?
It's my friend.
Oh, yeah, you got a friend that's really connected. No, she can't reveal it.
She got a ticket connection, friend?
Barely connected in the city, period.
Connected in the city?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have people. You know, being from the city, I have my people.
Well, who is it?
I can't tell you.
Give it
tell
up.
You off
I'll
the
tell
air.
You off the air.
Give it up. Just between us.
He's like, give it up.
Just between us.
Oh, is it just us three talking right now?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
610-632-0975. Coming up, the University of Penn basketball coach, Steve Donahue, who orchestrated a monster upset, much to the delight of Villanova hater Tyrone Johnson. We're back after this. It's 3:31. Mike Misnelli show 97.5 The Fanatic. We've been consumed with Eagles talk most of this show so far. But last night at the Palestra, a big time upset pulled off by the Penn Quakers and our next guest, the head basketball coach of Penn, Mr. Steve Donahue. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, Michael? Good to talk to you, my friend.
It's fantastic. Listen, you were the last bastion from the Big Five to play this out and to hit Villanova with the knockout blow. How did you pull it off?
Well, you know, being the last, I think, was helpful. Because I thought they all three games had moments where you thought the other team was going to win. I thought all three teams showed some things for us that we could probably try to do, and I think it benefited us.
Interesting. So what did they show you, and what did you think you could do against this team?
Well, it's more what you can't do against them. You start putting the ball on the floor, they do such a great job of guarding the ball, just not allowing you to get to the rim, make plays for others. You somehow have to move the basketball. And it's difficult because they switch so much. They deny so much. They're so aggressive. But if you're going to beat them, I think you're going to have to do that.
All right. So you raised a great point, because that's what under Jay Wright, they've always been very athletic and kind of the same type of player that can all defend, all pass, and all switch. And that's important because that doesn't leave open spots on the floor or open cutters. They switch and they blow up screens up top. Yep. So how do you have to, like, maneuver with that? It's just a matter of keeping the ball popping?
Yeah, a little bit, Mike. And I think you got to have some patience, some kids. And we play that way anyway. But, for instance, set more back screens than you ever have. Hopefully they switch it and you get a guy open on some kind of slippage. You continually have those kind of concepts within your offense. We kind of play like that anyway, so we're not affected as much.
But you also have to make shots, and it's not easy against that team.
No question. And I'll be honest with you, I thought they were actually better than I anticipated after watching them. I think the young kids are starting to get it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They're physical. They probably fouled a little too much last night. But too much from now, that's going to be a heck of a basketball team.
I'm talking to Steve Donohue, head coach of Penn. Now, Steve, listen, here's the reason why they win 25 in a row. They're well coached. They get really good kids. But they also are in a position where they can get the higher recruits. I mean, they get the four-star recruits. They get an occasional five-star. The rest of the Big Five is not in that category. So it doesn't really surprise me that they've rattled off that kind of a win. It's almost like a hopeless situation for Big Five teams to compete against them on an every year basis, is it not?
Well, let me say this. I think you make a good point. Part of the reason they dominated the Big Five is more about them than the other four schools. During that stretch, LaSalle went to a Sweet 16. St. Joe's won two A-10 titles. Philadelphia went to six straight NCAA tournaments. And Penn, we got there last year. So it's not like we took a dramatic step back. I kind of agree with you. They stepped it up. They're getting... Right now, they have two kids on their team that are top 50 that didn't play last night. They got to go. Let's give them credit, and they're getting the players, and next year's class is even better.
Yeah, they're in an echelon now, and you win two championships in 3 years to get in the homes of those major guys that, you know, the Dukes of the world are also in play for.
Yeah, and the beauty of basketball, though, Mike, is you can develop and play 4 years. Now, they haven't got hit by the one-and-dones. Now, they may, in the next couple of years, get that kind of thing to work with, but there's no question they're doing an incredible job on the recruiting trails in two ways. One, they're getting really talented kids, but they're also getting the right kids, and that's obviously been the key to success.
Talking to Steve Donohue, head coach of Penn. Steve, I am always fascinated the way that Ivies have to recruit. Now, I think it's an upswing for the Ivy League. Yale's been good. Harvard's been good. Your Cornell team. How do you ID a recruit good enough to come to your school to be a viable team that would make an NCAA tournament?
You know, Mike, I think it's gotten substantially easier in the last 10 years. There was a shift in the financial aid packaging across the Ivies for all students. But athletics is benefit. So now a middle-class family that before could never afford it, now it's pay, you know, a couple thousand dollars to get an Ivy League education as opposed to going to any hundreds of schools that offer scholarships. And we've done it. Our league, we had seven top 100 players in our league 2 years ago in the recruiting class. So these kids are making these decisions. We have a top 100 coming next year. And I think it has a lot to do with the affordability now that the financial aid provides.
It was, but the interesting part of what you said there is that the sell is the Ivy League education. Most coaches are selling the NBA.
Correct. I think we're doubling down on that. This is changing your life. And you can still compete at a national level. Hey, look at us. We played Miami and Villanova at home in front of great crowds and ESPN. And at the end of this, you're getting a Wharton degree. That's a pretty good sell.
You're getting what? No, you're right. So that player has to think that maybe he's not good enough for the NBA?
I would hope not.
You know, you see what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, at the end of my 4 years, I'm going to just get a great job because I got a Wharton School education.
Well, I do think that's, you know, a way to look at it. But these kids now, they know their window and they love basketball. My guys, I have guys on my team that want to play in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So's Harvard. So's Yale.
Yeah.
Jeremy Lin's in the NBA. It can happen. And I don't think it's that much dramatically different that we play 14 games in the Ivy League. That's going to prevent you from playing in the NBA. Our kids get invited to Chris Paul's camp, LeBron James' camp. They get exposure now through all the synergy and cable networks that are available. I think they can do it from this level, too.
I also read where you mentioned that you sell the Big Five to these kids. Now, you're getting kids from all over the country who are Ivy League quality students. Do they get the concept of the Big Five? Does that really resonate with them?
Well, it does for us, Michael, just because those schools in the Big Five, for them, are brands that they recognize. Villanova, Temple, LaSalle, St. Joe's, all up in the Final Fours. Some won national championships. We walk them into the Palestra, and they see that arena. And then we show them our schedule that I just talked about.
I think the Big Five is a big piece of why we get kids. I do.
Stevie, listen, congratulations. Hell of a job last night. A lot of people are happy to see Villanova get down. You know the way it rolls in this city when you get too much success.
Tyrone
picked you guys outright.
Dude,
yesterday. I deferred to him. You know, I was actually hoping you would pull it off. You know, I love you. But Tyrone almost had the correct score.
Yeah, I know. I love it.
That's good work. Stevie, we'll talk to you.
All right, Michael.
There is Steve Donahue, Penn basketball coach. Pull, how about that? The Tyrone Johnson edict went through the palestra prior to the game last night.
You know, I feel like now maybe I'm one of them in my heart. I've become one of them.
You're a Quaker?
Yeah, in my heart now. I mean, Rutgers forever, Pensauken forever, but I think a piece of my heart now, because they've provided me a gift that I couldn't get from anybody else. Beating that Villanova team and taking those people down a notch is just what we needed.
In retrospect, if you had to do all over again, maybe you would become a Penn student rather than Rutgers. But I know you went to Rutgers for the academics, so I went to see
what kind of, you know, in hindsight.
You went to Rutgers for the sports success. No, wait a minute.
You went to
Rutgers for the food trucks. They got some food trucks at Rutgers.
They have great food trucks.
Temple also has great food trucks.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
But the food truck universities.
You know, maybe I go back to school.
Priorities, Mike.
Go to grad school.
This is fleeting.
Get yourself a Wharton degree, son.
Yeah, this is fleeting.
If this goes
away tomorrow, I need something to fall back on. Nothing better than a Penn education.
That's correct.
I got to do something.
There you go. 610-632-0975. You know, when you remove... Actually, you just cut the one leg off the R and you get a P. Right?
See, you're going too far. Like, I don't know why you keep doing it.
Mike Fistinelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Seven. Thanks, Steve Downing, for coming on. The one question I'm always like, and I asked them, and I didn't really have a lot of time to explain how they do it, but it's like you're an Ivy League school, right? And you see a list of the top 100 guys. The first thing you do, I guess, is you go to the SAT, ACT, GPA. Right? Now, if they meet your requirement, do you waste the time trying to recruit them when you know that the big schools are also recruiting them? Or do you go to like the second 100 guys that are ranked because you know you can get those type of guys? Like, what do you do? How do you identify the guy?
That's a tough thing. Now, I know somebody who's a assistant on the women's basketball side at Penn. And I think they make the call. They do their diligence anyway, and they're prepared for the nose. They just know that's part of the job.
Okay.
But I think they send a feeler out to all of them. If he's interested,
fine. If not, you go in another direction.
Right.
But you got to identify a very good player who also has that other thing.
Right. And
that's a hard balance.
And then apparently the parents always, a lot of times, the parents will get them.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Into the door. That doesn't mean that they might not still go to Duke or Stanford or anywhere else. But the parents, when they hear Ivy League, will at least listen if the parents are involved, which is not the case all the time.
He's got some very good players on that team, and he has some very good players at Cornell that all mesh together. All right, let's get a Twitter poll update, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. 3 o'clock Twitter poll update. What do we have, Nat?
Who should start? Ooh.
What'd you do?
I had a bubble in my throat.
A bubble?
Like a frog.
Yeah, a frog.
A bubble. All right. Go ahead.
Who should start the rest of the season? The options are Wentz, Foles, or Sudfeld. Over 1,900 votes on this. 24% going Wentz, 47% going Foles, and 29% going Sudfeld. So 5% more Sudfeld over Wentz.
47% are saying Foles should start the rest of the year? Really?
Yes.
Yep.
Well, we're not hearing from those people today, but if that's what you really believe, please explain why. I think one caller tried to explain that Foles would be more likely to target everybody. I don't know.
One of the comments says, if Foles gets protection, he will succeed. But it's a setup for Foles to fail.
Oh. All right, well, whatever.
Is he going to make sure Golden Tate's on the field?
That's how you really feel. Who am I to say you're wrong?
Well, an expert who's been doing this for 20 years. Kind of your job to tell them that they're wrong.
Yeah, and I will. All right. Let's go to Chad in Palmyra. Chad, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chad.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Chad?
Speakerphone here.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
All right. So, first and foremost, I'm a Cowboys fan.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
That's all right. Don't worry about it.
The only logical reason why I can think they may want Foles to go is, do you think that they're trying to increase his value and maybe trade him during the offseason?
He's a free agent. They can't trade him.
All right. Well, I just waited on the phone for 45
minutes. They can't trade him. That ship sailed already.
Well, I mean, they really can't benefit by sitting.
The only thing that makes sense is that they want to, like, they know they can't beat the Rams. So they're going to rest Carson Wentz an extra week. It's almost like a basketball rest. And then play him for the stretch games, the two games they can win. Because football teams never think they can't win a game. So that doesn't make sense either.
Yeah, I mean, we beat the Saints a few weeks ago.
Exactly.
I'm not going to lie. I went into that game thinking that we were just going to take
Exactly. And so that doesn't make any sense either. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It really does not. So I don't know what it is. Maybe he really is injured and it's more than back spasms and they don't want to say it. Maybe it's his leg again and they just don't want to give it to the public.
Also, real quick, if I could, as far as the baseball talk.
Yes.
I'm suggesting that all talk radio just stop talking about Machado, stop talking about Harper, because I'm feeling like we're about to get let down like we were.
Well, that doesn't mean you have to stop talking about it. You got to push for them to do the best for the team. So we're not going to stop talking about it.
Yeah, but I mean, you had us all hyped up that we were going to get LeBron.
You can't ignore the obvious. Those two are out there. You can't wait. What purpose do you serve by not talking about it?
Well, I don't know. I'm a superstitious guy. I would like to see Harper come to Philly.
All right, you want a general knowledge question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here we go. General knowledge category, we're back to. Let's go with this one here. What unit is used to measure the height of a horse?
The height of a horse?
Yes.
Feet?
Incorrect. Hands. How many hands high is a horse?
Like hands, like this?
Hands.
Like this. Hand?
Yeah. Yes.
Like my hand.
Like your hand. You stack it. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, like this?
4, 5, 6.
Pam?
That horse is 8 hands tall.
Are you saying Pam or hand?
Hands, as in Mr. Hand.
Oh, man, the
Dragon.
Fast
Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, I'm talking.
Oh, man. Mr. Hand.
Mr. Hand, man. From. He kept changing out his hand and ended a Dragon.
But that's not the hand I was talking about.
Oh.
Mr. Hand. Oh. Fast Times at Ridgemont. Yes, hands. That's how you measure a horse, Natalie.
Oh, well, I've never really measured
something
a horse.
Every day. Tom in Ridley Park. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up,
thanks,
Tom? How you doing,
I'm
buddy?
I'm doing great. Thanks, thanks for taking my call. What a great call with Steve Donahue. I watched a game last night. I'm a long, long, long time Big Five fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved his analysis, what he told you. They took a little bit from each team that Villanova played.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, integrated into their game plan, and did what Villanova does to other teams.
It's really hard to do it if you don't have that kind of athletic talent, too. So what he pulled off last night was pretty amazing. Penn's athletic. They're not as athletic as Villanova is.
No, but Penn is very good, and I'd be disappointed if they don't win the Ivy this year, based on what I saw.
I think they're the best team in the Ivy, no question about it.
I mean, and furthermore, I love the history lesson that you gave about the Big Five, why it is currently and where it is, because it's not like the old days, okay, where A lot of teams used to get all the players, most of the players from the city. Take the great South teams, Larry Cannon and Durant, and the Temple teams, okay, and the St. Joe teams that had Dolphin and Billy Oaks and Cliff Anderson. You know, those days are gone, you know? And one of the things I think that people have a problem with about Villanova is outward jealousy. I mean, Nova did...
Well, certainly it's jealousy. They're in a different stratosphere now.
Right. They went and did what they had to do, and the creation of the Big East was tremendous. Dave Gavitt came up with that idea.
Yeah, to be fair, the only coach that used to lose the Big Five rather consistently was Rolly Massimino. They were the days that the Big Five could beat Villanova, even though Villanova was better for whatever reason. They were hungry city kids playing against Villanova who didn't recruit then in the city at all. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. 4 o'clock hour looms right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.